Amen. Begin to kneel. Please do. So we're going to pray again. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us once again with your presence. Please bless everyone that's in attendance today, especially those that have just joined us here a few moments ago for the sermon hour. And thank you, Father God, for blessing us with a way to be able to share your truth worldwide like this, all over the internet, each and every Sabbath day. And thank you for letting us do this all the way up until the last moment when they pull us offline. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain, if we are so worthy. And thank you for giving us this work, this good work to do, and blessing us physically, spiritually, and financially to actually do it. And, Father, we pray for all those that are going to be receiving the books in the next couple of days in their mailboxes, that they are blessed by this, and then they request the entire book so that we can get that to them as well. We want as many family members as we can get into the eternal family. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us once again. And we offer this prayer and this praise unto you in the name of your precious Son, our Lord, our Savior, and our King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Don't you love it when the angels are nearby? They love to be in homes that glorify the Lord. And the minute you go and watch something you shouldn't be watching online or doing something you shouldn't be doing, they have to leave. And guess who steps up to take their place? More angels. But these are fallen angels. You don't want them guys in your house. So, had plenty of years with them. They don't work out well. Things don't work well. And the devourer comes around and causes all sorts of problems as well. Okay, so this sermon is, usually I get the sermon like today, like after church. Well, actually, now because winter's coming, Friday night, or actually Friday afternoon. Sabbath starts at what's today? It's probably going to be like 5:20 something. Let me just check. 5:27. Yesterday it was 5:28, I think. And so, I have a few hours before church, like almost three, and so I start doing studies and stuff, and the Lord usually gives me a sermon for the next Sabbath, because I already have a sermon for this one, right? Wednesday came around, I still didn't have nothing. And then I went into prayer and more prayer and more prayer, and then the Lord revealed something to me that I shared before, but it was lost due to the conversions of, WMA files to MP3. And so I want to share this Sabbath because it's not exactly the same thing I shared years ago. It was like 15 years ago, because there's a lot of different things happening today. And but it still holds true in regards to us getting busy to do this final work. And I like to constantly repeat the fact that we need to do the work because we need to do the work. You know, especially now that we see that the Pope wants his one world government by 2030, and he wants to enforce his mark 3 years prior to that. And so Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20 says this, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And this here, oh, and by the way, if anybody's new coming in and they can't seem to figure out how to get on WTPR, just then you're in YouTube now. You look at the top of the text chat, and there's a link up there for you to, you could stream your way in. In other words, you click that link, and it's a direct link to the stream. And let me just see if I still have it in memory here. I'll paste it. Nope, that's the notes. It's just remedygod.org/streamer, streamer, because it's that directory on the server's been indexed. So when you just type in streamer at the end of remnantofgod.org, you got to put a forward slash after .org, of course. So remnantofgod.org/streamer will get you into a new area on the server. I had to move WTPR broadcast so that it will go locally through my servers instead of going through the servers like Icecast or Shoutcast, because they slowed everything down, and last night they were down, and so I'm not taking that chance anymore. I'm getting a refund for my money, and then we're gone. So we're going to stay on our own servers from this day forward. And so that'll get you back into WTPR, even though there's already 50 families in there now. So it looks like most people already figured it out. But there's still quite a few that usually go to WTPR. So, but by next week, the caches will clear out in all your browsers, and then when you click the links, because this all happened last night when I fixed it, because we couldn't do WTPR during church. So, getting back, as we know, when it comes to this Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20 that I just read, Jesus was talking to those that would first be called Christians in Antioch. This is what has been referred to as the Great Commission of Christ by countless believers and preachers, just, you know, the last 2,000 years alone, the Great Commission. You know, the great calling, go out and do this. This is our duty. This is the main reason we are here. Our Lord, he needs us to do this work. Many of us have lived through situations in our life that were not only very trying to us, they were a major blessing to us in our Christian growth. The reason I share that, because these past trials have made us able to do the task at hand, because we have seen his hand move, as well as the peace from deep within welling up in our hearts to help us get through the trial at the same time. We've seen this. You know, the Lord's hand was made very apparent to us during these trying times, even though sometimes you don't remember them. See, that's why I write all my praises down, you know, because I like to go in there and reminisce about what he's done the last, you know, 40 years. And so, as he said 2,000 years ago to his apostles, when they saw his greatest trial end in the eternal triumph for all of us on Calvary, Jesus said in Luke 24:48 that ye are witnesses of these things. You know, every time I contemplate my experiences, you know, and especially when I'm relating to a soul who's experiencing what I did in the past, you know, I can't help recall what Mordecai said to Esther long ago when certain destruction was looming on the horizon for the Jewish people. As we all know, Esther was now sitting as queen. She could approach the king and have the people saved from death by simply making her king aware she was a Jew. You know, like, in the scary way she got to that position, people think, oh, that's a tough trial, tough trial. Now look what happened at the end of the trial. She's queen and has the power to help move the course of events to help an entire nation. You know, like many young Christians today, she was a bit apprehensive, yeah, to share her faith with the king now, because she knew she could be killed, especially if she's going to the king unannounced or unrequested, because he hadn't asked for her in over a month, you know, and she's all worried about it because, you know, he gets busy. He's a king. But her uncle was moved by our God to speak words that cut her heart with simple truth that moved her to act on behalf of all of the people of God. He said this in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? In other words, in today's language, Esther, you're queen. The Lord allowed you to be queen to help us now for what he saw was coming in our future. Now think about that. Oh, by the way, remember our brother Matthias that died a few years ago? What a sweet man. His daughter actually emailed me not long after that and said thank you to all of us for being there for him in his last few years. That statement, you know, for such a time as this, we all know Matthias, remember? Oh, he used to say that just about every Sabbath. He said it. That statement was his favorite thing to repeat over and over again in his comments in the room and his emails to me, and even when he was talking on the phone. He would call me, this guy, and I called him back a lot of times, but a lot of times he says, brother, you don't have to call me back, I just want to share. And he would do that. He'd call me every week and talk for 5-10 minutes on my, you know, voicemail. And that what for such a time as this was always in there. He was a very blessed man, and he went to a very Christ-filled grave. The fruits of a Christian were upon this man. It was obvious. And it's no mistake that he would say that over and over again, because the Lord knew he was going to be taking a nap soon, and he knew what church he was in. You know, can any one of us say we have not been moved to share our faith where in doing so would affect many? Like, we're there at that point in time for such a time as that? You know, I can literally relate dozens upon dozens of times where I saw a load lifted off a soul after sharing how I went through the exact same trial that they were living through at the time, and I survived with faith intact, in fact, bolstered. None of us truly realize just how powerful our victories can be to those in the midst of the same trials today. And there's a reason the Lord sends them to you, because he knows what you went through. Amazing as it may seem, most of us are unable to realize how trying the trial is for those the Lord puts in our path, even after we peer into the eyes of another soul in the same exact trial. You know, somehow we forget how much we would have loved to hear of how our Lord moved for someone with the exact same problem as us back when we went through it. You know, like when I first started, especially when I got on Usenet for the first time, which I'll be talking about later, there was no one there to help me answer these tough questions. I had to do the studies on my own. And no one was there to give me words of encouragement, because Fran and I, we couldn't find a church. We started doing home church. Nobody believed like we did. And so we didn't have anybody there to give us those words of encouragement when we were socked heavy, and the unrelenting enemy of souls was just putting that black cloud over the entire house. I mean, just to hear about somebody else going through what we went through at that time would have helped, because hope is a powerful blessing, and not just for the one experiencing it. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. It says, patience, experience, well, let me backtrack a little bit. Maybe I messed that up. Let me see. 4 and 5. Let me get my Bible thing open. I think I'm missing something here. Romans 5, right? Okay. Because you got to walk into this one. You got to walk into it. You can't just pull that. Because it's not a verse that stands alone. It stands with others. So Romans chapter 5. And Yeah, I'm going to go to verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's that peace again, right? Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, or into this grace, rather, wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, or like we would call trials today, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Okay? Now, the thing that amazes me is when we look back and see how our Lord helped us, we use that experience to cultivate the hope we have in Jesus and another heart crying out to Jesus. We know he will be there for them because we know he was there for us, because he promised to be there even unto the end of the world. So yes, hope is an amazing blessing. But another way to look at this is experience does bring on hope, because, yeah, I went through this before. The Lord handled it then. He's going to handle it now. So experience does bring hope. And then, of course, you got to have that patience. It's right there in Revelation 12, too. Here are the patience of the saints, right? And so patience, wait on the Lord. Don't expect your prayer to be answered yesterday. You know, sometimes it takes years. So patience, and then the prayer gets answered. Now you've got the experience, and then when the trial comes again, or someone else is going through it, you can help give them hope because you had the experience. And so that hope we have can be shared, just like love can be shared. And today, brothers and sisters, that is our foot in the door. With the riots going on, the idiocy in the politics, and the many false prophets, and the end time signs, and people calling us literally that we didn't think would ever want to talk about this are now calling us because of what they see happening in the world. Our foot's in the door. We can tell them what we've gone through. When we relate how Jesus has helped us, our experience can be a blessing in the hearts of those that share our faith in Jesus. You know, just like reading the age-old stories in Scripture wherein we see God's people being blessed with answered prayer, there's your experience and hope again. Because that's what Fran and I had to do in the beginning, because there was nobody there. We had to go into the Bible. Oh, wow, look at that. Moses went through it. Oh, look at that. Enoch went through something like similar to what we're going through. And we're not comparing ourselves to them. The Bible's there for all of us. We're all compared in there. We're all going to go through the similar trials. I mean, we can relate the exact same blessings to those around us even now. As a matter of fact, we're going to find out when we get home that the books are still being written as we were alive. Because we're in those books. So, by the way, this is one of the reasons we see the enemy of souls attacking us like he does. He sends fear. Yeah, there's a no-brainer. He likes to use that one. He sends despair. Oh, that's annoying. And then, of course, his favorite is financial trials. And even physical trials to the faithful in the hopes we will be too overcome to be a blessing to others due to our despair. Because, let's say, we're too scared. We feel, you know, we're down in the dumps. We don't feel like we're a Christian. We could be effective to anybody. We don't have two nickels to rub together to even, you know, get a track Xeroxed. Or we're sick and we can't get out of the bed, let's say. Even there, you can glorify Christ. We have a wealth of experiences and faith that will most assuredly change the lives of many. And this makes mighty men and the demons that move them to quake in their boots with fear, because we saw what happened in the infancy of the USA. So why else would they be persecuting Christians as they do right now? Well, it's because they fear our God. And rightly so. He's coming now. I mean, ever notice, whenever you're, you know, with friends, they often speak of trials they're going through that you know you went through, then they can be blessed by. Or even if you didn't go through them, you know they're going to get blessed by it. Or how about when you're in a store, you're at work, on a bus, or even on an elevator. I used to love doing this on an elevator. And you happen to hear people talking about their trials. More often than not, you know certain words from God can help them find peace on the spot. And you don't have to be a street preacher on a milk crate or soapbox. That's what they used to call it, soapbox. A couple of words of encouragement, you know, and you walk out of the elevator. Or you share a Bible verse to someone in the store, and you walk out of the store. But do you share? If not, why not? I mean, seriously, who knows whether thou art come to that elevator for such a time as this? You're being tested. The angel's standing there watching you. He's got the inkhorn. Remember? He's got that little inkhorn. He's keeping track of what's going on here. I mean, the first time you do it, you might be a little jittery and stutter a little bit. Yeah. But the third and fourth and fifth and hundredth time, oh, man, you're out there preaching it before you even realize what you're doing. And so in today's world, most people do not want to hear about the prophecies or even hear the name of Jesus because, oh, they don't want to know the world's coming to an end. They certainly don't want to talk about Jesus. But if you have a store of promises locked up in your heart from the Lord, when you overhear someone in need of a hug from heaven, just walk up. Speak the Bible verse to them. Smile and walk away if need be. But I'm certain some will smile back, and who knows, a friendship may ensue, and hopefully another soul saved. Acts 26, verses 16 to 18 says this, "But rise, stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." He's talking to Paul, obviously, through who was prophesying? Ananias, was he got the vision to go heal Paul's eyes? So he goes, "For I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Just as Paul was sent after finding the Lord in a legitimate way, because he was a believer as far as anybody could understand in those days, you know, because Jesus and all the apostles and the early pioneers of the church only preached from the First Testament, or the Old Testament, like people call it. They, that's the only Bible they had. So Paul knew the Father. He didn't understand the Messiah, his Son, had come. And so just as Paul was sent after finding the Lord, we are sent after finding the Lord. All of us, 100% of us, each and every one of us can testify to something he has done for us in our lives. It could be anything from getting off the deathbed to a butterfly wing. I mean, seriously, if a man possessed of 2,000 demons could walk into a city where everyone knew he used to be possessed, if he can cause an entire city to come to be with Jesus, I think we were talking about this last night, if he can do that, so can you. Because you ain't got 2,000 demons in you. And our King Jesus is that active. We need to go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Acts chapter 5, verse 20. Yeah. Go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. You know, and they were able to get out of the jail. So and do that. So I've been on both sides of the fence, and I got to tell you, this side is not only much greener, it proves the other side to be nothing more than empty promises and death. I mean, don't all the promises promised blessings get you excited to the point that you want to share Jesus with everyone? Well, sure they do, but I know a large number of you listening right now would say amen to that because you do it. But Jesus has that effect on us. No matter how much the world hates the peace, we resonate. We know that if they understood this truth, they wouldn't hate him. So our job is clear. Share that what she has done for us, just like Legion did. Now, I know most of us do in fact do this, so this message is for the new to the faith, as well as I kind of like preaching to the choir anyway, but I mean, I recall back when I was looking for peace in my life, and I've shared this before, like I said. I watched two Christians I knew that just found the Lord to see if this Jesus they prophesied was real enough for even one looking from outside to see him. Because they're doing that to us right now. And it doesn't matter if they're on the left or the right when it comes to politics. They're looking for peace as well. They're human. They're designed by a great designer to seek after their God. That's why Satan gets in there and muddies up the water and tries to make them think that their God is Hindu or Allah or some other fake Jesus that Rome preaches. And so after seeing the way even major trials couldn't remove the smiles from these Christians I was watching, I started to look for him diligently. I mean, this struck me hard. Because I, too, was going through intense times, and I found it impossible to smile, or even fake a smile sometimes, because it was scary what I was going through. And the guy, one of the Christians was a guy. The other one was a woman, of course. And he was going something similar to I was, you know, exact same scenario. And so after I found Christ, I was unable to contain myself. He truly did as he promised, and all my fears were washed away. And this was before the trial ended, you know, because I came up to that trial all the way, and then all of a sudden it was a major miracle happened to where, really, you know, I walked out of that courtroom free man. And so then, just like Jeremiah of old, his word was in mine heart. This is Jeremiah 20, verse 9, by the way. His word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay, or I could not keep my mouth shut, is what he's more or less saying in today's language, right? When you find Jesus like this, you cannot stop this urge to tell people about him because you know they're going to be the better for it. I know. I was grateful when a Christian told me about Jesus many years ago, and so why would I want to hide such a gift like that under a bushel? Now, granted, I was not the best there was when it came to sharing my faith, nor could I see Legion doing it in a good way either, but and I'm still not the best even to this day, but I know for a fact that I could share what I saw of him in my own life. So can you. The Lord allowed the experiences that changed me and you, and so I share them with others in the hope it changes them. And this I can do where another other can, because they have not lived what I lived, let's say, you know, right down to the base foundation of it all. Just like I don't live the way they do down to the base foundation. We could have similar trials and experiences, yeah, but, you know, we all have different minds, you know, and so we look at things differently. Hence the reason you get four viewpoints of the gospel on, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four different, because that covered the gamut to have all four of them mentioned. That was perfect for the Lord to move four men like that. You know, my life is my own experience, and my experiences are mine to share. And so, like the demoniac legion that wanted to go with Jesus after he released all those demons out of him that went into the pigs that day, Jesus told them this in Mark chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. He says, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So legion went and told the people what Jesus did for him. And all of us can do the exact same thing. Each and every one of us are experts in our own experiences. You don't need to be a Bible scholar or a doctor of divinity to tell people Jesus, what Jesus did for you, any more than that demoniac was. This is a lie of Rome designed to make people clam up. I mean, think about this. I mean, when I heard about this when I was even a teenager, and I was still a devout Catholic at the time, but I thought, what? That's what they tell monks to do? A monk, this is how you end up becoming a monk in a Roman Catholic church. Let's say a man comes up and all to his priest, or his Monsignor, which is a pastor in a Catholic church, and he says, or let's just say that he's, you know, he's a novice and he's in the Vatican getting ready to lay prostrate in front of the Pope to worship the Pope. Now, I got pictures of that, where they do it like 50 or 60 of them at a time when they're ordaining him. And so he comes up to one of his priests that educate him, and he says, yo man, I just had an experience with the Lord. I want to go forth and proclaim it far and wide. Please give me duty to stand on a pulpit. Please let me share with the people what's going on here. The Vatican is deathly afraid of that. And so what did they tell him to do? Join a monastery and shut up. Take a vow of silence for the rest of your life. Praise God, Martin Luther didn't follow that lead. I mean, because Martin Luther was a monk. But then eventually he says, oh man, like Jeremiah, I can't keep my mouth shut on this one. And he hung up the 95 Theses, right, on October 31st. And by the way, that's why Rome invented Halloween. They didn't want to have to deal with constantly explaining to everybody how Martin Luther's 95 Theses that hung up on October 31st was some kind of a big prophetic deal, which it was. It was the sixth hour of this, you know, seven churches, four movements thing, right? Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 7. And so to prevent having to deal with those questions, they invented Halloween. So that could be over-glorified and everybody would forget what actually happened on October 31st. Because that was a big deal. The Great Reformation. Are you kidding me? Everybody finally got out from underneath the power of Rome? That was big. And on top of all that, like Jeremiah, Martin didn't die. They didn't martyr him. Although they wanted him. Especially when he went to Worms, you know, or Worms, however you want to pronounce it. Anyway, the Vatican knows that the truth is dangerous for them, so they know how powerful this truth is, and this is why they made the Bible, this is why they make monks the way they make them, and this is also why they made the Bibles illegal in the Council of Valencia in 1229 AD. And this is why they rewrite the Bibles to this day, because they literally fear our God. And there's no one out there that knows this stuff but us. And people that believe like we do, not everybody's SDR. You know, somebody went out there a few years ago and said, so you got to be SDR, you're going to hell. Never said it. Never would. I know there's people out there that believe like we do that don't call themselves Seventh-day Remnant. But then I also know there's Seventh-day Remnant people that do call themselves SDR in every nation on the planet now. Yeah, the latter rain's about to fall. We are scattered for a reason. So, for eons, the popes were able to make people believe that only priests could preach how Jesus moved among his church, because the priests are allowed to become priests and preach on the pulpit as long as the pope knows these guys ain't going to go, you know, right out there like Martin Luther would and start, you know, really, you know, exposing the truth about the popes. So this time that they did this, when they would prevent people from reading Bibles, it truly became what we call the Dark Ages, because Vatican did all it could to snuff out the light of God's people. And so most feared to share their faith because they believed the lying priests and thought they were ill-equipped to do as the Lord was moving them to do. Still, I ask, was that demoniac scholar? Was he a doctor of divinity? Was he even a preacher? No, he wasn't. Yet he shared with them what Jesus did for him in his life, and the Word of God says all men did marvel when he shared what he experienced firsthand in Decapolis. Men truly marveled at what that babe in Christ had to say. In fact, when Jesus came back to that neighborhood or that area, everybody in the town came out to meet him and didn't want him to leave. So think about that for a moment. Legion was no theologian. He was no college professor who had decades of Bible study behind him, supposedly. That's what they all claim, but just by their sermons, you know they never read a Bible other than to take it out of context. And so he was a simple man, Legion, with one life experience to share, and he ran with it. How many blessings have we had as a church in just the last 6 months alone? We have a testimony service every first Sabbath of the month. And so I know each, just about every one of us have something to share. Your faith is a lot more powerful than you think. Not even the most intelligent man, or woman for that matter, on earth could hold a candle to what you have actually lived. So don't sell yourself short, brothers and sisters, when you're urged by His Holy Spirit to help a soul dealing with trials that you know Jesus helped you through. You know, I know this because I've seen Jesus move better men than I by a simple testimony I shared one day. You don't even have to be preaching on a street corner to be effective, like I said earlier. Just have your ears open and ready to share Jesus and His peace in a moment's notice. Most of us already do this just second nature because, you know, you've been doing it for so long. But each one of us must learn to walk so close to Christ that we literally sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And yes, Peter said that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. People will actually ask you about the hope that is in you more often than you think. I get emails almost weekly about, you know, how do you believe this? I mean, what is it? I got an email yesterday from a woman, in fact, in regards to this. I mean, who knows whether some of you listening today have experienced certain things in life for the sole purpose of helping others who don't know Jesus as they should yet. You know, like, I can meet a guy five years from now that the only way I was able to minister onto this man to help him find Christ the way he should so he can make it home in the last few moments of life on earth because of the idiocy that's going on out there. But the only way I was going to be able to share this truth with him is if I found Jesus in the 1980s, worked up to doing the Bible study every single solitary day for, by then it'll be 50 years, I would think, because it'll be 43 years, because I'm at 37 years now. And so that's, you know, all those years I would need to be able to have the light necessary to open that man's eyes. And again, all I can do is plant the seed, and even water seeds that have been planted beforehand. Our Father's the only one who can give the increase. Even a farmer knows that. A farmer knows he can stick a seed in the ground, he knows he can water it, but ain't nothing happening until the Lord thy God gives the increase and causes it to sprout. So again, who knows if you've been brought to this situation in life for such a time as this? I mean, how many Esthers or how many Mordecais are there out there? Millions, I hope. In fact, I know there are going to be at least 144,000 of them. And so as the man released of demons in the graveyard proved, being a Bible scholar is not a prerequisite for sharing our faith. Of course, understanding His Word will help us grow and become even more effective as days go by, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. But our experiences are our own, and we can be confident in sharing them because we lived them firsthand. We don't need to read a script or look at a teleprompter to recall the highs and lows that we went through, because we lived them. These are experiences that we experienced firsthand. I mean, no one can take that away from us. Just as Paul was told after receiving back his sight, we are also told to go forth to be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. That's Acts 22:15. You know, for many dear souls out there, this is the only way the Lord can reach them. because they are, for the most part, taught by friends and family to ignore the Word of God. This is one of the reasons we're going to stand in front of courtrooms like magistrates, or we call them judges today. Well, some countries still call them magistrates. But it's because they never read Bibles. They need to hear. I mean, look at Herod. He couldn't wait to see Jesus. He wanted to see a miracle or something, because he never even read a single, verse. So whether it be by peer pressure or by sheer hatred of the Word, some will never open that book without being prodded by someone who has already opened that book and seen the power in the Word. I mean, truth is, Romans 10:14 is so clear. As a matter of fact, that was my handle on Usenet many years ago. And it was my email address, too. It's Romans 10:14, because it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom in him of whom they have not heard? And how should they hear without a preacher?" Yes, even if you aren't a scholar in his word, you are most assuredly a scholar in your own experiences. With this God-given knowledge, you can be called a preacher if that which you share glorifies the Lord and bless you, and it will. So yes, we're going to be laughed at and even ridiculed on occasion, but that doesn't void the truth. We're called to proclaim. 2 Peter 1:16 says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables," like seven-year trib, secret rapture, Jesus isn't God, Holy Spirit doesn't exist, that kind of stuff. "We don't follow cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." As Christians, we know what we witnessed. We are eyewitnesses to how our hearts were changed when we met Christ, how our prayers were answered, how our loved ones were healed or souls were saved. We know firsthand just how he makes himself very real to us. No matter how much the world refuses to believe us, it cannot make us believe we are mistaken, because he introduced himself to us personally. I mean, this is no cunningly devised fable, as Paul puts it, because we witness the truth in all its power with our very own eyes. This is why he stated in Isaiah 43:10, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." So they can yell Allah, they can yell Confucius for that matter, they can even yell Satan, or even a Chemosh, or some of those other fake gods. You got Chemosh and the other guy that was, you got Baal, of course, and I can't remember the other guy that they would burn the children to, and they would make all this loud music so the screams of the children wouldn't be heard when they were burning their own children alive. Well, today it's called abortion clinics, but still, back then that's what they did, because some of the abortions, when they used the salt, better remember those abortions? They used salt water. It's like throwing acid into the womb, where only the child's going to feel the pain. The woman isn't going to feel it. She's full grown. That infant with that very fresh skin, you put salt water in there, they had third-degree burns all over their bodies when they came out of the womb. That's how they would kill the children. Finally, they stopped that, but whoever knows what they're doing now. Now they just rip them apart. They crush the baby's body in pieces while it's alive. Anyway, the majority of us are very, very, very aware that there are very few, if any, like-minded brethren within our reach. We have a mighty task ahead of us. But then again, he doesn't need that many. I mean, he sent one person to run towards Goliath. He's only going to send 144,000 of us to handle 9 billion, let's say, to help share with 9 billion. And there's going to be many other than the 144,000 who are going to go out and share the same truth, but some of the people they're going to be able to handle what's especially going to be going down in Plague 6, and so some people, Christians that are headed for heaven, will be allowed to take a nap, in death, before the plagues begin. Just like in Noah's day, there were believers that were allowed, that were going to make it home, that weren't going to be on the ark, but they were there to help Noah. Methuselah was one of them. So I believe with all my heart that this is our Father's perfect plan. As we pass tracks, as we share our faith, or even as we counsel those experiencing trials we live through, we know that eventually we're going to find brethren near us. But until such a time as this, we can take advantage of our scattering and help the church to grow to the perfect prophesied number, no matter where, you know, in other words, bloom where you're planted kind of a idea, right? Even if the people refuse to join us under the banner we claim as the Seventh-day Remnant people, we can still bless them with an understanding of the truth as we know it. You know, in so doing, they may join us one day. Remember those, I can't remember the exact verse, but where the apostles were asking Jesus if they should go over there and shut these guys up that are baptizing people that don't preach exactly the way Jesus and the apostles did. And Jesus says, oh, they're not against us, they're for us. They don't see it the way we do, just like there's other people out there that understand the truth the way we understand it, but they don't have all of it, just like we don't have all of it. We're all looking through glasses darkly. But that day's going to come. When the people of God do, you know, gather as one, but if we don't go out there and do this work, that day may not come for us until Jesus does. And if, and you know, for some people that's not our concern. Like for those people that don't want to hear it, they'll still. I mean, where am I trying to go with this here? Okay, we can still bless them. You know, people that believe like we do but don't call themselves SDR, or even people that are starting to learn like we do, we can still bless them with an understanding of the truth as we know it. In so doing, they may join us one day. But that day may not come until Jesus does. That's fine. As long as they make it, that's not our concern. They will still be our brethren, but now they'll be with us for all eternity. If they make it, we'll see them on the sea of glass. And so we can plant and we can even water the seeds of truth, as the word says, but only our Lord is the one that gives the increase, because he reads the heart and he knows exactly when the truth is going to sprout. Our job's clear. I mean, the church needs to grow no matter what, but if the people are cut deep enough to see the need to join us in holding up this banner so as to bring the souls in, so be it. But until that time comes, we need to take advantage of how our Lord saw fit to strategically scatter us all around the world. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12 says, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We may not know what lot he had us stand in until the day he places the crown upon our head in New Jerusalem. Like I was saying a moment ago, I might talk to a guy 5 years from now that I wasn't able to talk to until I had 43 years worth of experiences in Christ to be able to explain to him what he needed to hear so that the Lord can give the increase onto the seed just planted. Well, the same holds true. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that we're going to walk up to and they're going to go, thank you. And we're not going to know them from Adam, you know. And they're going to say, like when we receive the crowns. And then we put the crowns at the Lord's feet. And again, still, this is not our concern. What we need to do is be about our Father's business. Is there something going on in the YouTube stream there that, like another sermon going on? Is that what's going on here? Molech, that's the other guy. Thanks, Simple Vegetarian. Okay. All right. Molech and then Kamosh and then Baal and all the others. So anyway, I was in the study, study the other day. I was convicted to search out a way to go house to house, as we know the Lord did, as well as teaches apostles to do this. Even Paul kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but hath showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. That's Acts 20:20. And so, yes, I know that we are strategically scattered around the world, and yes, going house to house can be very tedious at times, especially when you're outside the city and living on a farm as we are. We would have to go into cities to share our faith. Most of the houses out here can be miles apart. So, as I was contemplating this conviction, it dawned on me something I did many years ago that was very effective. You can still go house to house, you know, especially after you start sharing your faith, it becomes easier. You know, just, you don't even have to be, ask them, you know, I mean, look at the Jehovah's Witnesses. They do it, and they got the wrong message. So you can have the same zeal, just to have the good message. And I share this, what I'm about to share, because some have approached asking, what if anything they can do for the Lord in these trying times, even if they haven't much experience in His Word? Sharing our personal experiences and seeing His hand move is one thing. I believe it can be done where, and fruits can be seen quite quickly, and that can be done face-to-face, friends, strangers, whatever. Like if somebody on an elevator says something and you have a word of comfort to give them from Scripture, and that'll help them. Even if they're part of this Antifa or something like that, and they say something, you don't have to come back and say, you're going to hell in a handbasket, and you know, you're an idiot, or you know, like some of these false prophets on the street corners will call a young girl a whore because she's not dressed properly, and her boyfriend a whoremonger. Yeah, that's going to get them into the church. No. So, but, yeah, they... You come up to them where they're at and share with them what you can. And sharing a Bible verse to someone, a word of comfort, even if they're an Antifa or something like that, yes, some might get a little annoyed by it, but tough. It's truth, you know. It's not like you don't yell it at them. But Luke 12, verse 20, 12:37 says this. And I'm sorry, I didn't scroll up the... oh, it's the last verse, as a matter of fact. It says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily, and that's what we're doing. We're watchmen on the wall. We know what's going on. Verily, I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. You know, as I read this the other day in my morning study, a thought came to mind. And I used to be very active on Usenet some years ago, as some of you may know. And for those unaware, Usenet is an online news group. It's a portal that was created by improving upon the original bulletin board technology when the Internet was but an infant running on an interconnected college computers. We used to call it D-dialing back then, you know. You used modems, and you just tapped into a phone number that had already been connected to a computer either on the West Coast or the East Coast in a college, and we just built chat rooms and would just talk to each other. And a couple of the guys had 8 modems, or a few guys had 8 modems in their house, and so they would interconnect like that. And that was the invention of the Internet. And so, but the bulletin board, it's kind of like sending emails to millions of people that can be read by them immediately, or even months or years later if they so choose. It's just an old, you know, a big old electronic bulletin board. You know, they called it bulletin boards in the past because it was kind of like, you know, walking into the supermarket. And they still do this. Like there's an IGA out here in a small town near here. And you walk in there, there's a big old cork board as you walk into the, I guess you could call it a vestibule, where you got the double door thing. A big old cork board in a supermarket where you saw notes posted by all sorts of people selling cars, giving away kittens, and even gospel messages. Well, the thing is, with the news groups, it's a permanent corkboard. This is why it was always best for me to, you know, to double check my posts before placing them online, because they're going to be online for anyone to view for as long as there are computers on Earth. So studies I did 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, I can't remember, it's probably 20, 25 years, it's been quite a while, they're still on Usenet to this day. And they're there, you know. But if you look hard enough, you can find them. But what got me to flood the news groups back then were how fast the fruits of my labors were realized the very first time I tried it, day one. Now, yeah, I'm not putting down going to places like some of the chat rooms that are going on out there. That's instantaneous. But some of these, you have time to go back and forth and do study and list all the information in an in-depth study. And you keep them fairly short so as to keep their attention. But the fruits, with those fruits also came the attacks. And the amount of hatred is generated made it difficult to do the work alone. But while at the same time it proved the work was a thorn in Satan's side, still. Being alone doing the work, I was forced to stop after a few years because the work I was doing on the website was taking much of my time. So some of my posts would literally generate hundreds and sometimes thousands of responses that would spin off in numerous areas because people would keep on discussing the post and bringing up different points. I would chime in immediately, but I would chime in when it got to thousands, you know, sporadically, because I was putting up other posts. You know, I wasn't going to, I would let them run with it and see, if, you know, because there was these guys that were helping me too. Well, they're friends I made, and they would actually get in there and chime in, and it was, I just considered them helpers, and I thought that was a blessing. And so, but I found myself defending the message more than I was able to share it. Sand Bellet's demons of old were popping up all over the place in every single solitary day. So years later, new technology came up that allowed for better control. You know, when the internet started allowing actual graphics and stuff online. And so at this time, I tried doing this again, and the fruits started to become evident rather quickly, but most immediately the attacks became too frequent for, you know, for me to handle. But still, this is a very effective tool for those that want to start out to spread our faith and bring souls into this truth we preach, and because it's so effective, it will most assuredly be a threat to Satan. And I'll share some websites in the like after the sermon, because I'll be done in a few minutes here. Show you these Usenet pages that I found, if I can remember where I found them. I'll search again with you, okay? So what I did is I even built my own bulletin board on my own server. And it was going well for quite some time. And this is before they even used the name or the term forum. We have an SDR forum now. That's kind of like what a Usenet thing is. But the threads were splattered everywhere. Even though years ago when I made that bulletin board on my own server, I had to shut it down because a group of people formed, literally. It was like 10 of them. They just got together in force, and they would crash out my forum every day or my bulletin board every day. But with Usenet, they can't do that. That won't happen, as they have a huge server farm, and so there's no way they're going to be able to do that. Some of them just put you in a kill file, but most of them love to spread hatred, so they won't put you in a kill file, which we would call today blocking or ignoring them. So most don't know what Usenet is, but many have heard about news groups. In fact, some email software still to this day has the option to log on to Usenet and other boards, and they call it news groups. And you just log on through your email software, and that way when someone would respond on a post that I put on Usenet, I'd get an alert. It'd be kind of like getting an email, but it wasn't getting an email. It was getting a Usenet alert, and it acted just like an email. I would see what they said, and then I would respond just like I was responding to an email. That's what I loved about newsgroup software. But because I got so much more effective, the attacks got so much more effective, and so, yeah, it got very, very difficult back then because I was trying to keep the website going as well. And so far as I can see, it's still going on. It's much easier to post on Usenet than it is on Facebook or Twitter or any other so-called social media platforms, because it's not privately owned. That's what I like. Well, at least it wasn't back then. I don't know what's going on with Usenet now, but there's no censoring on Usenet, you know, like they do. And it's actually gotten so popular that some websites... Oh, I found one here. Okay, I still got this one link. It's gotten so popular that some websites charge a small fee to jump onto the news group. But it's so cheap, it's well worth it. You know, I found one that offers access for $4.25 a month. You know, and even if there's some of you out there, like in different countries where that $4.25 a month could be your weekly income, contact me through my website. I'll set you up for a year, okay? Or the Lord will, you know, we'll take care of you there. You just get out there and preach it, but. You know, I kind of like to see what you're sharing first, though. I'm not going to fund someone that's going to preach heresy. And so I must say, I'm tempted to jump back on, but I won't, as I know how much fun it is. And it's exciting for me, you know, to find people that don't know some of the things that we've known for decades. And so, oh, man, just get in there and start sharing with them. It's just awesome. And so I'll share this link I got. But the reason this, I'll share it later, but the reason this method works so well is because it's the same as going house to house, but with a twist that I've come to realize works much better. Eventually, we're going to have to go house to house, yes, because we're going to get kicked off the internet. But not only do we go house to house via the internet, we can also hit many houses all at the same time, just like a website does. And the nice thing is we can do this one at a time or even as a group. I suggest, especially if you're new to this, go in there with two or three friends. Go in there as a group, because you're going to need some backup, especially if you're going to the Catholic and the SDA areas. They will, yeah, they'll be on you. But if you've got two or three people to back you up, oh, they're not going to be able to handle it. with all the truth. And don't get angry. Don't be name-calling, because they're going to do that to you. But just be as gentle as you can. But I would think many more people, now that I think about it, because Usenet's been around so long, I would think that many more people use Usenet than use YouTube or Facebook combined, I would think, because it's literally been around for decades, and they keep it under the rug, I think, mainly because you can't censor it. So, and there's millions and millions and millions of people in there. Probably, I would think, over 1 billion. And so at present, we do use websites, tracks, booklets, books as well, and DVDs, and YouTube, and a few other methods to spread present truth. And doing one more online won't hurt. And when they kick us off YouTube, I'm sure Usenet will still be an option, and I'm certain I can eventually find the original server where we can enter in Usenet using like old-fashioned USCA. I even go so far as to pull out Windows 98. You know, I got a copy of it somewhere around here, or even. But boy, would I'd put Windows 98 on a computer, and then use that computer as like a firewall. Have it go and then use another, because I had to do that when we first started out with. I built like a firewall out of an old computer because they were hacking and attacking me. But this wasn't Usenet. This was FireTalk. Or no, the one after FireTalk. I'm not going to say the name because they're all about porn now. I don't want to tempt anybody to go there. But they were hacking it to the point where they would shut down my computer. And I had to rebuild the system every time. So what I decided to do is I'll just make a generic system, bald, that doesn't have any my stuff on it, and have all my stuff on my main computer, and use my main computer. I would still do the work on my main computer, but the other computer that had Windows 98 on it would be kind of like that's the computer that would get online, and then I would use like a crossover cable, yellow Ethernet cable. Well, today they don't even care if it's yellow or not, but it's back in the day, if it was a yellow Ethernet cable, it was crossover. The wires were different. They were crossed over on the inside. You can make your own. I have a device that I make my own cables. And so, yeah, you could do that. It just one. That's how we did it in the old years when we didn't have internet, and we all got together in the family, my sons and myself. We all interconnected the computers using crossover cables, made our own network, and then we just play a game together. So anyway, house to house evangelizing is a wonderful tool even today, as we can see by how Jehovah's Witnesses, who have a broken theology, like I said a minute ago. But it's zealous fruit to do the work. When going house to house, you're always bound to run into someone who wants to talk eventually. So the Lord has many of us spread out all over areas of the world, and it would make, you know, some, it might be a little bit difficult to go, especially if you live on a farm like out in the country. And so many of us are also limited in our free time due to household duties or just working a 9-to-5, because I did this as with a 9-to-5 and making a website at the start. And so I had to shut down the Usenet. I stopped doing the Usenet, and I still worked on my 9-to-5 job as well as my website. And so this is where the internet becomes a tool for us. I mean, the Lord tells us in His Word, and it's already been a tool, I know, but this one here is, it just might. Some of, and I'm not expecting everybody to do it, but a few of you might do it, and all of a sudden you might see a big influx of new believers, because those people need to be shared. The truth needs to be shared to them too. So the Lord tells us in His Word to go forth and spread the gospel. And we would be lacking in our duties if we do not take advantage of what we have at our fingertips. Even if it's not used yet, do something. Anything. Soon the internet's going to be censored, and websites like mine are going to become illegal. Or they're going to be censored so tightly like they're doing now. Next, no one's going to be able to benefit by them, unless you actually give them a USB stick with my website on it. But if we educate ourselves on the best methods to spread the faith now, we can take this advantage with us when, you know, posting to forums or news group, when that's all that's left, as well as going house to house. We've got to get this experience when they take us offline, or they make it where we can't buy and sell, because you're going to still preaching when you can't buy and sell. That's when they're trying to stop us, but we're not going to stop. And yes, some of us will be killed because we're not going to stop. And so they can stop websites, but there are literally millions of forums and bulletin boards out there that we can post to. And if we had to, we can go into a library free of charge and do it. And so they will eventually be able to prevent us from creating websites in the future, but they will never be able to stop us from posting present truth, even if we have to go back into the old ways by going house to house. As the remnant people of God, we need to proclaim present truth. And this is an excellent way to do so with very little effort. Literally thousands per week can be blessed by this work, and it can be done in the comfort of your own home. Even the COVID idiocy can't stop you there. Did you check that out? Oh, stay at home 2 weeks or lockdown. Well, okay, I'll preach on Usenet, or I'll preach on these other social media platforms, but there you're going to get censored, like Facebook or Twitter or whatever. So the Lord has us scattered around the world for a reason, and he's allowed the Internet to be invented, as is obvious by this online church service. As a matter of fact, he told us we were going to do church services before the Internet was even born, and we were the first to do church services online in something called Fire Talk. And then he gave us our own server, and the rest is his story, or history, as people call it. So we can go door to door for days and only find one or two souls, which is still good. And we'll end up doing it that way, too. And that's an excellent thing to do on Sabbath if you want something to do. This is a good thing irregardless, though, because with online work, we can go literally house to house hundreds of times per hour. The Lord has blessed the website with many hits on a daily basis now. We could take advantage of that traffic while we're still able to be online for His glory. Each person that logs on does in their own home. The good thing about this is we aren't knocking on the door at any convenient time. The people that log on to Usenet or any other of these social networks, they log on when they want to. And at the time, and at a time that's convenient for them to go back and forth, you know, they have the discord between us, you know, and how they achieve all this with ease. All my doors and windows are shut and that thing is loud. I guess it was one of those, yeah, it's a big combine. You just saw it in the camera. And so, as I started the sermon, I'm going to end this sermon with the exact same passage. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded ye. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hope and pray you are blessed.